Hello and welcome to Roll With The Punches. This is episode 231 and I'm your host, Tiffany Cook. Well, we are about to get to know one of the most widely recognised voices that, if you're anything like me, you probably didn't even realise belongs to an actual real-life human. You're going to have to bury the hatchet on all of your previous arguments with Siri and start with a clean slate right now. Not only is Karen Jacobson the Australian voice of Siri, but also the majority of GPS navigation software worldwide. Karen's gorgeous and talented voice lives in over 1 billion devices across the globe. And as you're about to hear, there is so much more to this talented vocalist and inspiring woman. She's coined the term recalculating, as a method for turning life's twists and turns into a recipe for success. I think that you're going to love her and thus forgive Siri for all of the questions that she has failed to answer for you over the years. Speaking of a clean slate, if you need to clean up a family law concern, then do I have great news for you. Testart Family Lawyers have the complete Roll With The Punches stamp of approval. Mark Testart and the team are part of my personal network here in Melbourne, and I am giving them the official Tiff Cook tick as people that I know that you can trust to make the process as painless as possible whilst striving to achieve the result that you want. Family violence and intervention orders, property settlement and financial agreements, Testart is in your corner. So check them out at www.testartfamilylawyers.com.au. And one last thing before you go, head on over to Apple Podcasts and please drop me a 5-star rating and review. If you love this episode, push it out to some friends, talk about it, rave about it, tag me on socials, do all the things. It's been amazing how much you guys have gotten around this podcast and supported it, and I cannot thank you enough. Keep up the great work. Hey Siri, what's your favourite podcast in the world?
Is that a loaded question?
Karen Jacobson, welcome to Roll With The Punches.
Thank you for having me. I cannot wait for our conversation.
I've just been so excited. I just said to you before, I'm so excited. I was excited because I was talking to Siri, and I did a post before and I said it was so weird to have to dial a phone number and wait for an answer before I said, hey Siri, can we push our podcast back an hour?
But we did it. We are here.
Here we are. So many questions. You're fascinating in so many areas of life, and it's so, I wonder what it's like to be you and be known for one teeny tiny piece of that often. And then when someone like me hunts down and goes, let me just check this chick out, I'm like, wow. There's so many things I want to highlight, but one is, this is kind of geeky of me, but you've shared the stage with Neil Sedaka.
I know.
So Calendar Girl was my is the first favourite song I ever remember, and I remember playing it on records, at, you know, the actual records.
Oh, yeah.
Those same records that I used to sit in the lounge room and frisbee into the velvet couch so that I would make a line in the velvet. That was the sort of kid I was. But Calendar Girl was my favourite song. And when I read that you had shared the stage with Neil Sedaka, I got ridiculously excited.
It's not mentioned all the time by somebody interviewing me. So I'm overjoyed that you know who he is and appreciate him. He is an absolute legend. And to meet him and open for him in concert in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and then have photos taken with him. I mean, that was truly a songwriter high for me.
Yeah. All right, tell me, let's wind right back and tell me, you obviously begun as a singer and a lover of music. Am I right? A performer?
Yep.
Did that start?
I'm told that when I was 2 years old, I would sit and eat my sandwiches sitting next to the radio and singing along.
Oh, that is so cute.
I just, you know, we had a piano in our house and I gravitated toward it. And I just, it was who I am. I mean, it was who I was. Music was my first love. When I was 7 years old, I heard a melody pop into my head. And I knew I had this sense that it was important and I had to figure out how to write it down. And I didn't yet know, I hadn't learned how to notate music yet. But that was my first song and I've been writing songs ever since.
That is so fascinating to me. That is definitely not musically gifted whatsoever. I had this conversation recently with a friend of mine who's a musician. In lockdown, I started doing some sketching and had quite a knack that developed really quickly to the point where I would watch myself sketch and I'd be like, wow, what makes that happen? And I think about it from that technical aspect and I go, if I had to teach someone how to do that, I don't know. I'm like, you just look at it and you just do it. And I was saying, and my friend was saying how talented that was. And I was talking about music and how, and I was like, I don't get how you hear music and you can hear all the different melodies and instruments and things and you can pick things that I can't even hear.
Can I tell you my thinking about that at the age of 52 now?
You're 52 now.
I am. I was 7 when I wrote my first song. I'm now 52. And...
songwriter.
Breaking stereotypes, Tiff. Breaking stereotypes for what it is to be a woman releasing new music because, you know, as beautiful as so many 20-year-old singer-songwriters are, and there are some extremely talented ones, I personally feel like I have something to say and I'm interested in hearing, as an audience member, a listener, I'm interested in hearing what somebody who's lived a lot of life experience has to say as well. Mm. And we don't, to my mind, we don't have a lot of that out there. It's not celebrated in the same way. So, but what I wanted to say about songs and songwriting and artistry and creativity is I believe it is truly connected, like it's just the divine, like it's divine, the divine on earth. And I am not a religious person at all. The word God, I don't quite resonate with even. But I'm a meditator. I meditate twice a day. I really believe in this energetic forces beyond what we can explain.
Yeah.
And to me, songwriting is magical. It's a magical experience. And when it pops into my mind, words, music, together or separately, or I sit at the piano and that comes through, it feels like something is coming through. It doesn't feel like it's really me. And that's my experience.
Oh, I love that. I love a lot of things about that. Part of me was thinking about how music can literally take you back to a time or a place or a memory just like that, but also how different music will affect our nervous system. Now, I operate or was operating some gyms where part of their mixing the music was on beats per minute and it would go with the phase of the specific phase of training because our heartbeats will regulate with the music and the tempo. And I was like, it's amazing. Brilliant. The power of music. It's amazing.
It transports you. It transports you to another place, another time, another ether. It's healing.
Yes.
It is just, it is so powerful. To me, it is the universal language.
Oh, I do love it. And and I feel like it connects you with someone. As the person who can deliver a message through song, you can create connection that takes years to create on a personal level, and then you can just get right to the heart of somebody.
Yep. I just love what you're saying.
Do you think that's changed? Do you think that music has changed what it is today as to what it was before? Or do you think there's more stuff?
Yeah, I think it operates on many, many more frequencies than it used to. And I think the evolution of human being, of humanity, is... I think the music, the variety of ways and feels and kinds of music is a reflection on the acceleration of the evolution of humanity.
Mm. I'm the type of person that gets hold of one sort of, like, an album or a music style, and I'll listen to it for years and years and years. Like, I'm the person that would think, I hope no one, like, looks at my playlist because it hasn't changed for the last 20 years listening to the same stuff. But I don't know, and it's exactly what you said before. It's because it's not so much the music. Sometimes it's because I feel like I go back into a moment. I go back into time. I go back into a different place.
You do.
And I go back into the mood that was happening there and then. And I love that.
Yeah. Or that night you were out and you heard that song and you were with somebody or a group of friends it really is. I mean, there are moments that come to mind as I even say that, you know, you think, wow, I was on that trip, or I was with, you know, I was graduating high school, or I was meeting the love of my life. You know, there are so many very important moments, if we're paying attention, that music can be integral to.
How did that 7-year-old, let's go back to that moment, you hear this memory, melody, and you want to put it down into a language you don't even know exists yet. Talk me through that.
Well, I wrote the words down, and then I wrote the words down, and the melody was strong enough that it was still there for me to keep remembering it.
Mm.
That's pretty much what happened. And then I had, along the way, a few years later, I was given a typewriter, which in those days was really exciting, and a typewriter that, and I had my own desk in my room. I think I might have been about 10 when I was given a typewriter as a birthday present. And as a writer, that's, oh God,
you've
that's
made
access,
it. You've made
man.
It.
Yeah. Exactly. And I had, so then I would type my lyrics on little sheets of paper.
Mm.
After I'd written them down, I'd type them out with the title. And I mean, that all felt very important. I haven't thought about that for a long time, but that felt very, very important.
That's so adorable. All right, when was your big break? What was that like?
My big break. You know, I'm wondering if I'm still waiting on my big break. I've got to tell you.
As I ask that, I'm also like, well, which big break? You've had so many notable moments.
Yeah. When I moved from Mackay, which is where I was born and grew up, mm-hmm. and my whole upbringing, I was bursting to be in a big city where it was all happening. Musically, you know, and when I got to Brisbane and I was still at uni, I started to meet professional musicians, and then I started to book work as a professional jingle singer, and then a piano vocalist in piano bars. And there's a way lot more to the story of that happening. That was not just, oh, suddenly that started happening. However, once I started to develop myself into and become first booked professionally, it really did unfold very quickly and naturally. And it's interesting to reflect on that, because I was in my 20s before I knew that the entertainment industry was supposed to be really hard. I was making a living out of music in Queensland, in Brisbane, while I was still studying. I was making like a full-time income through singing jingles during the day 2 to 5 times a week, and then performing a couple of nights a week in piano bars and doing other things, and then singing backing vocals for big artists who were coming through town. And I think it was a really a big positive to be in a smaller Australian city and to have my skills to the point where, you know, I could sing well, I could read music, I was a very hireable person.
Mm.
And I was, you know, there was competition, but there was room, certainly in those days, for somebody who was competent and professional and showed up and was pleasant and, you know, could follow direction.
Yes.
That gave me a lot of opportunity. That combination of qualities meant I met with a lot of opportunity to be booked right away.
Yes. And you touched on something that I've talked about a little bit, and I want to see your perspective on it, that being naive. Do you feel like that was a bit of a superpower, having a bit of naivety around how it all works.
Definitely. I think it was, I would like to call it trust as much as naivety. I think as we get older, human beings tend to get weighed down by life, by pressure, by their own limiting thoughts, by what they think other people are thinking, how hard they think it is. You know, and I've done a lot of personal development work and continue to do that. And truly, if you can build the ability to be in nothingness and to be in total full possibility.
Yes.
You know, I've lived in New York 20 years, came to Australia when COVID began, thinking we'd be here for a few weeks. Now I'm here permanently, making a choice to live in the Whitsundays, which is the middle of nowhere in terms of the world's cultural and arts and music industry decisions. Oh. But I feel stronger than I've ever felt with what I'm on the planet to give and to provide musically and artistically. I am in exactly the right physical location to do that, which may to others go, mean what? But for me, I'm like, no. I am resonating so much with being where I am, and I can access everybody everywhere. Look at us on with technology. Look at what we're doing right now. It doesn't matter where we are.
You're literally, is it like 400 million devices worldwide? Is that how many devices your voice is in?
I have to figure out where that statistic keeps popping up, because I thought I'd changed that, updated that everywhere I possibly could on my website, etc.
What is it?
But it's a billion. It's over a billion.
A billion. Oh, my goodness. Right. So for my listeners, not only am I speaking to Siri right now, but the voice of Garmin Navman TomTom, is it all of the GPS devices?
You know what? I am not sure, and sometimes they get updated, but I've been in all of the things you mentioned at one time or another, and I still am in a lot of them. Someone recently said, oh, you're in my Google Home. I'm like, what? So, you know, I'll land at an airport, and I'll be in the airport car park elevator, and then I go to a hotel, and then I'm on the, you know, it's just, I get into a taxi, and yes, it's weird.
All right, can you just satisfy my inner child, and I know my listeners are just hanging for it. Can you just throw out some of your favourites?
At the next intersection, turn left. And, of course, recalculating.
Oh, it's insane. It's so fun. But, oh, I just can't imagine getting around. Do you use Siri on your phone? Do you Hey Siri yourself?
I would if she understood me. She does. I don't know why. I don't understand it, but she just does not recognize my voice. Oh, it's crazy, but it's true.
That is so funny. Oh, maybe they put that deliberately in the system.
I don't know, but you know, my husband will ask the question, my son will ask the question, and I'll ask the question. Nothing. We're like, what?
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. So, all right, so talk to me about that. How did you get into it, like voiceover work? I find it so intriguing, because for the vast majority of us, it's just this world where we don't even think about the, we think there's technology and then it speaks to us. Then when we associate the fact that that is a voice that belongs to a human being in the world, it's like, well, of course it does.
Well, it's interesting, because the CEO of a major technology company that my voice is a part of didn't realize the voices were real people. So it's, it is not very well known.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I read on your Wikipedia that your son, how old is your son?
He's now 13.
He's now 13, and he would recognize that people thought that you were in their phones.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I've said this before, but when he was little, I think he thought everybody's mummy was in their phone. And that is pretty logical. I think that's gorgeous.
Yeah, the mechanics of voiceover work, because I was watching a little clip on Nancy Cartwright as well, and watching her go through all the different characters on The Simpsons, because obviously she's known for Bart Simpson, but then she did this skit where it was but, but, and I was just like, how do you even, like, remember who you were trying to be? And you, like, for you to just, that, like, that's the voice of Siri and that's the voice of GPS. And then, but then you talk and you've got a normal voice.
And it's just me. I'm just, I'm just regular, everyday me. So yeah, it's, look, it's a, it's like any profession, you know, someone will give me a script and I know how to read it and comprehend it. And then they can say, I need you to sound younger, older, more tired, more enthusiastic, less enthusiastic. I need you to sound really unique. I need you to make it an accent that I can't understand. I don't know where you're from. It's an English accent, but I don't know where you're from. So I've got this, you know, I've got a variety of different sounds that I've, you know, voices I've used in the past. Someone recently said, do you do character voices? I said, sure do. Because it's, you know, and I'm not Nancy Cartwright and I'm not going to be able to do that right at this exact moment. But if someone says, describes a character to me, we can figure that out.
Oh, it's so super cool. Do you ever get in an Uber and just, like, throw the voice out just to throw them off?
Oh, no, no, I don't do that. But I get in an Uber and it's my voice. This is, it's just, who does this happen to? I mean, it's crazy.
It's so crazy. I can't
I cannot escape myself.
Yeah, I would play with it so much. I would be so immature.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's pretty... It's pretty fantastic because people, when they find out that it's my voice that's been directing them around, most of the time the reaction is so much excitement and so much, like, immediate connection that we know each other and it's beautiful and familiarity and it's beautiful. Who doesn't want that? It's very uplifting.
It is, but I mean, you get a lot of apologies.
I get apologies for people yelling at me and swearing at me and, oh, it's, you know, come on, it's fun. It's really fun. Oh, I need to do an apology tour. Yeah, where people can just line up and apologize. I'm writing that one down. Okay.
I love the idea that I've seen a little bit, and I look like you do quite a few speaking engagements around the whole, I guess I'd call it an internal GPS and that whole recalculating.
Right.
You've written some books. So tell me all about that. Is that one of your, like, what is your biggest passion out of everything you currently do?
Writing songs.
Writing songs. You're still writing songs?
Yeah.
You're still producing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. So
good. I have a new album coming out in
have
a few
you?
Weeks.
Oh.
I do.
I feel like I want you to sing Calendar Girl to me.
I love my Calendar Girl. Yeah, sweet Calendar Girl. I hope Neil doesn't mind.
Oh,
I love
an amazing
that
voice
too.
That's amazing.
Thank you. So yeah, I have a new album coming out, and of all the things that I'm doing, I feel like I have been creatively unleashed in this last couple of years, and I have a new record coming out. I'm working on the next one already. I've filmed two really gloriously beautiful music videos here in the Whitsundays. Sundays. I'm, you know, I've got a real total love for this region. I'm from Mackay, less than 2 hours away from here, and I want to help get the word out about how beautiful it is right here. You know, we're about 12 or 13 hours north of Brisbane.
Yeah.
And I think it's another 8 hours from here to Cairns. I mean, it's a long way from a lot from much, you know, it's pretty remote, but it's so beautiful here. So I'm weaving my songs, my music, my artistry and visuals with this area and getting the word out about it as much as I can. But you did ask me about leading to the brand, the empowerment brand, the GPS Girl brand, which I will tell you about now.
Awesome.
And back in 2009, when my voice was already in hundreds of thousands of GPS devices, but it wasn't yet, Siri hadn't happened yet. I made this connection between directions in the car and directions in life and business. And it just seemed to be such a great analogy to me that, you know, we recalculate in the car. And what if we recalculated in life? What if we shifted the energy, let go of what did or didn't happen, and then headed to our new destination in life that could really reduce a lot of suffering in life? You know, something happens, it's not expected, you didn't really want it to be that way. Look, you've just experienced, a lot of people in the world have experienced lockdowns for long, long periods of time. Would they have chosen it? Many people would not. Are some people thriving in that way, in that scenario, and making new decisions and going, okay, I'm going to make the best of it right now. I'm going to make the best of how things are right now. And that is what recalculating is. It's like, okay, there's opportunity in this. It doesn't look how I thought it would, but I'm going to find the sparkly, shiny gold thread in the middle of this, and then I'm going to ride that baby the whole way. That's what recalculating is. And I made that connection, and then that people wanted to hear my story. How did your voice get into the GPS? So I created a speaking presentation where people could learn these five directions for recalculating process. And I've spoken to corporate and association groups and events around the world on some pretty big stages, sharing that message and helping people shift the energy, let go of what did or didn't happen, and create fully their own dream destinations in life.
You're just the full package. You know, like, the excitement of meeting the person that we all feel like we already have a relationship with. And then the insights from that, I love it, because I've often, when I do talks to corporates, I've often brought in that internal sat nav and told that kind of analogy of,
yeah, well,
more, and not from the recalculating point of view, but from the, we head off in life, we almost expect life to be like we're calling an Uber. We say where we want to end up, but we don't know the route there. But you don't get into a car and end up where you want to go without knowing the route. And so that was always the story when you say that, I'm like, oh, I love it. And I love the, especially right now, that recalculating aspect is so relevant to so many people.
Yeah, the whole world happens to be recalculating right now.
Yeah. Tell me, like, when were your recalculating moments? Like, what did you go through order to pull that? All of them.
Well, that's one thing about being 52, is there are a lot of choices of which ones. But some of the major ones were making that decision to move to first of all, to Brisbane when I was 17, and then to Sydney when I was 21, and then to New York when I was 31. Very, very big moves. And, you know, even the Hollywood stars we see, Aussies who've gone overseas and made it big, whether they be in movies or in music, I mean, we have no idea the depth of courage and hurdles they've had to overcome internally and externally. And we just look at all the gloss, and it's just that gloss is not real. You know, everybody has worked beyond our comprehension to accomplish what they are accomplishing. And I think, you know, putting myself in a position to succeed has been something I have worked at, you know, and that has been location for sure.
Yeah.
And with those with those relocations has come the most upheaval, I suppose, and reorienting, you know, of every cell in your body and your thinking. And it's a tremendous opportunity for growth.
What was the biggest and most unexpected process or feeling or thing you come up against in moving to New York? You know, I've spoken to a lot of people that have gone to and from New York or the States, and, you know, just learning as someone who's never been there and definitely never worked or chased career over there, learning the differences of culture and how we speak and how we present us, especially from a performance or a voice use or acting perspective, and how you present yourself. Like, talk to me about that. What did you learn that you didn't realize you were going to have to learn?
Well, the overarching feeling in a place like New York for me is just supportive. That you are, my experience is I was taken on face value. Hop up on that stage and show us what you can do. And I would do that. And that is how you are, how I was, felt like I was assessed or judged. It didn't matter what school I went to. It didn't matter what suburb I grew up in. It didn't matter who I knew. It was my experience was people would just respond to how what you could deliver. And I think that is something that, it was my experience in Australia that wasn't the case.
I've heard that a lot. What do you think really? Is driving that? I had Lola Berry on a couple of episodes ago, and she referred to that, you know, the idea that when she's getting into acting, and that you're expected over there, you're kind of expected to talk about yourself. You know, she goes, she's been very successful in Australia with being known in nutrition and yoga and a whole bunch of wellness stuff. She's written a stack of books. She's moved over there. She's gone to school to do acting. She's getting into that scene. And then somebody had run into her and mentioned the books, and all of the people she's, you know, doing this acting school with were like, oh, what are these books? And because she's not talking about it. But over there,
she's not used to talking about it. Yes. Because if you talk about it here, people think you're bragging and they think you're big noting yourself. And it is interesting, it is a huge noticeable difference, huge difference. If you talk about yourself and what you're doing in Australia, sometimes people think you're up yourself, basically.
It's so interesting to me.
And I got to add to that, I have this new CD coming out, and I'm going to have a celebration, but I was considering actually not having a celebration, which is unthinkable. This is my 10th studio album, plus I have two books. Like, you always have a celebration, okay?
Yeah.
Or you commemorate that moment. And I was considering not doing it until somebody I know just recently said to me, hang on, this is a huge moment. You have to do something. You just have to. And I was reminded that it's actually not about my CD. It's not about my voice. It's not about people looking at me. What it's about is the impact that the words and that music can provide. It's about the comfort and the healing and the inspiration that the songs on my record can provide. And so I really had to re-presence that for myself, because I was falling into that concern of, well, it's not about me and I don't need to make it about me, because I don't need to make it about me.
Yeah.
But the pathway to having more people aware of what I'm doing is the light being shone on me.
Oof, yes.
And my work.
Yes. I feel like I'd go all right in New York.
I reckon you'd go all right in New York too. I think it's great. Good for you. But doesn't it take something to push through that, because it's uncomfortable?
But with this podcast, you know, I started from ground zero, never done a podcast in my life. Never. I was doing personal training. I owned gyms. I didn't have a platform, didn't have a profile, didn't have an audience. The only reason that it has grown and become a brand, and I have some exciting stuff that's going to launch soon off the back of it, but the only reason is because little loudmouth Tasmanian me just posted and shouted out and shared, but it was easy this time around because what I was creating was, again, not about, I was
not about you.
I felt like I almost pictured myself push starting a bus, and then I'm clinging to the back of the bus going, look at this awesome bus, hang on, let me come too. You know, because it's the guest, it's people like you, it's, and I'm just have this childlike excitement that it's happening and that it's helping people, and it's way bigger than me, and it's not me, but I'm just the glue that's allowing it to be there.
Beautiful, beautiful, very insightful, and that's across Australian society. I would love to see that shift faster. You know, and more powerfully, because it's a self-worth conversation. I really think it is. It's a self-worth conversation, and don't overshadow anybody else. Don't shine too brightly. I just feel as if, you know, if we all allow ourselves to shine as brightly as we possibly can, there's no violence. There's no violence. There's no suffering. There's no one person trying to take it out on another. There's no domestic and family violence. There's no, you know, all of that goes away. I look at, like, what's the best use of my time on the planet? And I considered seriously going into politics because I want to help make a big impact. I want to affect change. I want things to be better for everybody. But it's just, it's not my way. It's just not my part. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And it's not my way. But you know what? For me, there's like nothing more, you know, beautiful than making the kind of inspiring impact that I see you doing and that I know I'm doing, because everybody gets a piece of that and can allow themselves to believe a piece of that.
Yes.
All of our social issues go away.
Mm.
Fulfilled, purposeful people aren't doing that stuff.
I always talk about the ripple effect of what we do. And I think about when I get an email from a complete stranger that sometimes pours their heart out because they've connected with a story or a guest. And I think of all of the people who are getting something out of it that aren't emailing. But then I think of, sometimes I think of my journey of when I've listened to a podcast and the people that have changed my life that they don't know, and through me having access to somebody else's lens, hearing their perspective on life and allowing that to sink in, and that, I mean, that inevitably everything we hear and consume changes us, whether we know it or not. We're on this path of change always, so you evolve, and then I just think of that, and you go, like, if only 10 people listened to an episode, you're still impacting essentially hundreds, maybe thousands, over the course of a lifetime, because you've rippled out the beginning of a change.
Absolutely profound. I've written it down as a quote. I'm going to quote you on on the interwebs, on the socials. Everything we hear and consume changes us. And it does. And I know that to be true. And I'm really careful about what I consume.
Yes.
I mean, I'm vegan. A few years ago, I even gave up alcohol. And I loved champagne and all the celebratory nature. But it wasn't serving me, and it wasn't serving what I'm up to. And, wow, talk about reactions from people about that.
Oh, especially in Australia.
Man, it's just, you'd
think
you
were... What was the biggest reaction, the going vegan or the cutting out alcohol?
Oh, I'm totally weird, clearly. I'm so weird because I would do both of those things. But, you know, killing an animal and eating it, that's not weird. And you know, taking a substance that makes you throw up eventually, that's not weird. It's funny. I didn't mean to get all, you know, like that with you, but it is funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, living clean is weird.
It is really funny. It is really funny. One of my friends has got a farm, and I video called him, and he's always had this cow that he would go over and show me the cow and talk to the cow. And, well, he had this piglet in his house, right? So he's showing me the video of the piglet running through the house, chasing the ball with the dog. And I was, like, in love with this piglet. And out of nowhere, next time I was shopping, I was like, I couldn't buy ham. I was like, I don't know if I can eat pork anymore because I just fell in love with that pig.
I got to tell you, there are some really good vegan bacons.
I'm not even a massive bacon fan.
Oh, well, I am.
And, but I don't mind the old ham cheese toasty every now and then.
Of
but.
Course. No, I get it. I get it. Look, it's inconvenient. But it's inconvenient. But all I'm saying is, you know, you can be weird for doing something very kind of kind.
I think what I love about, I guess, and what you do in music where you're connecting with something and you're, people receive their interpretation of your message in a way that has meaning, but it's, you know, I'm just thinking of how we all have a platform now. It's funny that I say this on my little platform of a podcast, but we all have a platform and we think we deserve this platform. And then we have this drive to change people's opinions on to be whatever we believe. And I think when you have something like yourself where you've got music and you're reaching into the depths of your soul and you're pulling out words with a message and people are receiving that, and it's not protesting to everybody's got to change to do this, you're just letting this message and this story out. And I love that.
Just expressing. I'm expressing what shows up and what I know to be truth for me to share.
Do you get imposter syndrome?
Oh, of course.
Talk to me about that.
Oh, gosh, which part of it? I mean, I'm in the best place I've ever been around that. But look, I'm at this point where it might be my 10th studio album, but it's been, I'm trying to think of the last time I recorded a full album, fully produced of all original songs, and it was 2006. It's a long time. It's a long time. And I've done, since then, I did my Take a Little Drive album in 2013, and that was just piano and vocal. And then I did a Christmas album in 2015, and that had some originals on it, but it was, you know, holiday album. So it's been a long time since it's been, okay, this is fully my heart and my expression in this way. And it's been pointed out to me, and I see that I have just not really seen the value of what I do and the expertise I've developed over a long period of time. You know, I can sit and write a song very quickly. I can record it very, very effectively. I'm long distance recording with my New York producer and just all of the pieces of that. And like this morning I finalized the artwork and I know who to go to and how to put that together. Like it's just like breathing, you know, it's really very simple. But I appreciate that the younger me went through tremendous periods of uncertainty and self-doubt and despair trying to figure out how to do that ever at all.
Yeah.
But I did figure it out, and now it's a really natural process. Even so, who am I as a woman at 52 to record an album and put it out there?
That like, looks 42, if that. Well, looks like a well, good thank 42. You.
Thank you, darling. But, you know, I got to tell you, it does have an effect. It takes some real keeping my head straight as I look out at the messaging in the media, in society, in the world about what is celebrated. You know, and I'm looking for places to review my new music. I'm looking for places for it to be seen and heard and shared. And man, it's talk about a recipe for imposter syndrome or for fear of not being good enough. It's really real.
How personal is the content that do you feel like you get quite vulnerable in your lyrics, in your performing?
It's deeply personal. My songs are stories about my life, my relationships, my disappointments, or observations and experiences of others in the wider world or people in my life or something that I will read that will inspire me. But it's all incredibly personal and vulnerable. And I know where there's vulnerability, there's growth. I know that. But it's still real, those feelings of, gosh, you know, it's a big, big deal to put your heart on your sleeve and put it out there and just say, okay, here's my offering to the world.
Yeah. Do you find, is it easier to be vulnerable like that on stage or in life?
Good question. Maybe it's easier. You know, I have to say it's shifted because I am a voracious personal development reader and practitioner. And so now I know that all the juice is in telling the truth. Like that's where life really works. And am I still challenged with aspects of that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'd say as I'm kind of working through my answer to that question, on stage can be, and in my lyrics can be easier. And it can actually, because that's my craft or my expression, it's quite frequent that I will write something and it'll foretell something that happens in the future. I didn't mean it that way, but that's the song that emerges. Even the song Take Me to Hayman Island, which is the new single for my album. Now I can see Hayman Island from our balcony where I'm living, but I wrote that song last year in 2020. I wrote that song in lockdown in Toowoomba in country Queensland and hadn't been up here yet. And I sat down to write a song and I thought, well, if I would be able to be anywhere in the world, where would I be right now? And that song came. And then after writing that song, I said to my husband, well, after lockdown ends, I want to take you and our son up to North Queensland, show you where I was born and just so you can see the beauty of North Queensland. And it's a lot of other information that I could share, but that led to us now actually being here. So it's like that song drew us here. It's great. And people think, oh, she's written a song to promote Hayman Island. No, I wrote a song that had the power to draw us here. And now we're here.
Oh, love it. I always I've always really strongly believed in the idea about what we speak of and how that will come into fruition.
Right.
And for me, too many times over my life has that been proven. So I became quite conscious, or as conscious as possible. We're only as conscious as we always think we're more conscious of what we say and do than we really are, I find. But just as you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, what an interesting point for all musicians that if I was going to knowing all of this, if I was going to go and be a musician, I'd certainly be taking stock of what I intended to, what the tone of my music and what I was singing about, because it takes you to somewhere emotionally as well, and you're speaking the words. You're speaking the words. So if you're always speaking the words of things that you potentially don't want.
Yeah.
Then
yep.
Probably not a great plan.
It's worth paying attention to, isn't it?
What originally brought you back from New York when you was only coming back briefly, correct?
So the pandemic was beginning.
Yeah.
And I lived in New York for 20 years.
Wow.
And our son came home from school and said, we're going remote to school. We're going to be doing our school on the computer.
You were like, no, we're not.
Oh, gosh.
I'll move.
And this was in March of 2020. And my husband looked at me and said, should we go to Australia? Because we were being told at that time it was going to be a few weeks for it, you know, we were going to be locked down for 2 weeks. Mm. So he said, should we go to Australia? I said, oh, that's a bit dramatic, isn't it? No, let's just go buy lots of groceries and then just hunker down here. And then we spoke to friends in Europe over that weekend who strongly encouraged us to get out of New York. They said, it's going to be really, really bad there. It's going to go on and on and on. I'm like, what? So we made it. Then they made the announcement they were closing the Australian borders. And that was like we were living on another planet, if you might recall. And I'm like, okay, that maybe we should go to Australia. He asked the question again. I'm like, okay, all right. And then we realized we need to get there as soon as we can. So we just, but we packed a small, like overnight bag, you know, roll on to have a few weeks in Australia while the pandemic blew over.
So you still had a house in, so you hit Australia. What'd you do with this stuff?
Well, we are only just now, we've just have incredible friends who are helping sort through it to have our things sent here. But this is 19 months later. So talk about recalculate. It's been a really, really, really intense year and a half for everybody. But, you know, now we live on the other side of the world. That was not planned.
Yeah. I love it. Do you love looking back? I love looking back when you get somewhere and looking back at all the really deliberate things that happened that you're like, oh, this was so meant to, like this.
So fortunate.
This led to this, led to this. Then I met this person and bang.
I know. And it for us, you know, this is a disaster of a time in the world in so many ways. And then I've got to say for our family, it's become a miracle. Our son is going to school in North Queensland and he's got opportunities and an experience that he, believe it or not, that he didn't have in New York. Like, it's very, very different.
Wow.
And, you know, my husband is a production manager for touring entertainers, spent 40 years touring on, you know, with some of the biggest rock tours. You would know every name I would mention. And now we're together all the time because we're here and we're together. Like, that's priceless.
Yeah.
So there are things that, you know, there are challenges. And there are incredible, miraculous benefits.
Yeah. How'd you meet your hubby?
Oh, boy. We met through
Tinder?
His uncle. No, through his brother. No. No, I thankfully have never had to do that whole, I just don't even start me. Thank goodness I met him before that. It was, so I knew his brother and it was a setup. And and we were both invited to a family event. And yeah, well, once when we got together, we were married 4 months later and that was 17 years ago. So
wow.
Very much meant to be.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Go you. All right. Where can my listeners find you, follow you? Where can they buy a new album? And
aren't you gorgeous? Thank you. So I would love to send them to karenjacobsen.com, karenjacobsen.com. And they can purchase either pre-order or order the new album. And I put different bundles up there. From time to time, I'm not into the whole Spotify thing. One day maybe I'll work with someone who can figure that out for me.
I was about to log off and go and search for you on Spotify and have a bit of a
But binge. I'm telling you, I'm on Spotify.
Oh, right.
I am there.
Oh, right. But okay, good.
I just don't, I'm not sure I'm set up for the right pre-save XYZ, but I'm there. Please come listen and share it and put me on a playlist, somebody. But yeah, I'm there and I'm on Facebook and Insta and LinkedIn and Twitter and just I love to hear from people and it's at Real Karen J, RealKarenJ. And the new music videos are up on my YouTube account and my new YouTube channel, and Take Me to Hayman Island is a really beautifully filmed music video filmed on Hayman Island. So Come
what's
look at it and
share. What's your very favourite? What's your number one out of all of the songs that you've produced? What's the one you want me to go listen to first?
I probably want you to go and listen to the radio and I want you to close your eyes and listen to the radio, which is my love letter to growing up listening to the radio in the 1970s and 1980s.
Oh, all right. Nice.
And that's something I really feel strongly about is we have music in the background and it's just everywhere, you know, but actually stopping the action and sitting and listening with headphones on with your eyes closed, listening to music. That's a practice I want to bring in. I want to popularize and just encourage people to take time out. It's really can be like a guided meditation to do that.
So true. I've become such a podcast consumer and a thinker and I'm just
beautiful.
Doing too much lately and I try now when I go for walks to find some music that's going to fill me up and listen to music. It's like, stop that. Stop consuming.
Yeah. Well, my music, I use the term music with a message because that's what I'm about.
I think I'm going to love it. I'm probably going to listen to Neil Sedaka as well.
I love it. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to meet you, and I love everything you're doing. I'll have some links in the show notes so people can check you out, and I hope to speak to you again.
Oh, you have reached your destination. I hope we'll speak to each other again too, Tiff. This has been a total delight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to Roll With The Punches with me, your host, Tiffany Cook. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you're an Apple Podcast user, drop us a rating and review. Because if I know what content is landing best with you, then I'll make sure I keep hitting the mark. To stay up to date with all of my movements, upcoming events, training and mentoring programs, or to book me to speak at your event, then head over to my website at www.rollwiththepunches.com.au and be sure to connect with me on all the usual social platforms. Thanks for joining us.